Tonight's shiur in Parshas Tezriah. Beginning of Sedri, we have mention of the mitzvah Bris Mila, Ubiyom HaShmini Yimol Besar Laso. There's a midrash, Tanchuma in Tezriah, that Turnus Rufus HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva, Elu Masim Naim, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, or Shal Basar Vedam? It says, whose actions are nicer? That of people or Hashem? So Rabbi Akiva said, Basar Vedam. People. So, Arturus Rufus asked him another question. Why do you guys do Bris Mila? So he said, you know, so Rebbe Kiva, I knew you were going to ask me that. That's why I prefaced and I told you the actions of man is better than God. He said, why? He showed Arturus Rufus a piece of wheat and a cake. And he says, what would you rather eat? A piece of wheat or a cake? A piece of wheat comes from Hashem. The cake is from man made. Out of the raw materials. So what do we see? That which man makes is better than God. God gives the wheat, but we make it into something edible. So too with Bris Mila, Hashem makes the man, we finish him off. That's one chazal. There's another chazal, a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Again, Turnus Rufus HaRasha, he asked Rabbi Akiva another question. He says, if Hashem loves Inim, how come he doesn't take care of himself? So he answered him, Kadeshi Nitzalanu Behem, Idina Shel Gehinim. So that we, by giving the Anim money, and we are supporting them, that gives us the Schus. So Galinsky would like to suggest that there is a Shaychus connection between these two Ma'amarim with Rabbi Akiva, and shows Rabbi Akiva's is the same shita in both these things. So he prefaces with a Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos. It's the Kfar Hayu, Rabban Gamliel of Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, Yeshua of Rabbi Akiva. Here's Rabbi Akiva. They were walking on the way. Veshamu kol hamona shel romi bedocha berichuk mea vesrim mil. They heard the Romans from a distance of 120 kilometers, and the Tanaim began to cry, except Rabbi Akiva, he was laughing. So they said to him, why are you laughing? So he said back to them, why are you crying? So they said, how can we not cry? These goyim that are bowing down to these idols and worship of Avodah Zarah, and they're fine, they're happy and peaceful and tranquil, and everything's going good for them. And us, we are the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're all burnt. Says, lo nivkeh, how can we not cry? So he says, that's exactly why I'm laughing. Why? If these goyim, which are going against Hashem, and look how good they have it, you can imagine the people that keep the Torah, what good they're going to have in the future. That's one mice over there, and last mice in the Gemara, Shuv Pamachad, they were going Aliyah to Yerushalayim. Came at Shegila Har Tzofim, they got to Mount Scopus. Karu Bigdeim, they ripped their clothing. When they got to Har Abayis, they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadashim. Again, they started to cry. Rabbi Akiva laughed. They said, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? And they said, the place where it says, Vazara Karib Yumas, and here when these foxes are coming out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, and how can we not cry? So he says, that's exactly why I am laughing. He said, why? He says, because Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Vayida li eidim ne'mani meis uriya kohen vesacharya ben yiverech yahu. So the Gemara says, why is Uriah and Zechariah in the same Pasuk? They're two different time periods. Uriah was in the first base of Migdash, and Zechariah was in the second base of Migdash. Elatala Kasub, Nevuaso, so Zechariah and Nevuaso shall Uriah, to connect the two. Uriah says, Lachain Biglalchem, Tzion Sadeh Techeresh, that it's going to be plowed over, Yerushalayim is going to be plowed over. And Zechariah, it says, very happy Nevuah. Old Yeshu is a Kainim, is a Kainos, Berchovas Yerushalayim. So, Ad Shalon Iskaiman, Nevuah Sashal Uriah, Haiti Mitzareh, Shalon Iskaim, and Nevuah Sashal Zechariah, Serbi Yekiva. If the first Nevuah is not going to become true, I was going to, hey, maybe the second Nevuah is not going to come true. But now that Iskaim, Nevuah Sashal Uriah, and we see the Beis HaMikdash is laid barren. So now, Biyaduah Shenevuatosh HaZachariah Mitkayameh. And that's why I'm laughing, that now we can see that the second Nevuah is going to come true. So the Gemara ends that they said, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva, you have comforted us. Akiva, you have comforted us. We have to understand, what do they mean by that, and why the double lashon? So he says, we see here a yesod in the hashkaf of Rabbi Akiva. Now, that is, Rabbi Akiva, he had the power to live in the future. In other words, not only did he know what or have faith of what's going to be in the future, but he lived as if the future is right now. The good of the future that is expected to come, he felt it right now, and that's why he was happy. And therefore, when he saw that the Romans, that they are having it good, and he said, yeah, the Romans and these Rishayim are having it good, all the more so that Tzaddikim, they're going to have it good, when in the future. But he was laughing now, because he was living in the future. He felt that good that the tzaddikim are going to have in the future as if it's right now. And that's why he was laughing at this point. And similarly, when he saw the fox come out of the base of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was laughing. Why is he laughing now? He says, well, because if this nevuah came true, the second nevuah is going to come also true. And they're going to be dancing in Yerushalayim. But why are you laughing now? He said, because Rabbi Akiva felt as if the nevuah, he's living it right now. The nevuah is going to be in the future. That was his godless. He was able to live in the future right now. Mainly, he said, that's the double lashon. Akiva nechamtanu, as if they were saying to him, Akiva, you comfort us in that what you said was going to be in the future. And Akiva nechamtanu, that right now. Not only the future, and you were kind of, well, okay, we're comforted in the future. No, we're comforted now, because you're living the future right now. See, similarly, Rashi says on the pasuk, "V'atayim shamoa tishma lekoli." If you listen to my voice, "Imatati kablu aleichem," then if now you accept upon yourself, you know, my Torah, "Yerav lachem mikan ve'elach." So Rashi says, "Shekol hatchalot kashat." If you accept it now, then in the future, if you convey it from now on, it's going to be sweet for you. Why? Because kol hatchalachot, all beginnings are difficult. So he asked, it seems a bit shtickle stira. He says, if you mekabel everything now, even though it's difficult, it'll be fine for you, sweet for you, from now, mikan, from now on. Why? Because all beginnings are difficult. Well, beginnings are difficult, that means it's not comforting now. It's not good now. It's going to be maybe in the future, but not now. Again, but that's the same word of Rabbi Akiva. If it's going to be in the future, fine. So you have to feel it as if it's fine right now at the beginning, even when it's difficult. You have to feel the sweetness now as well. And you see, that's the whole Rabbi Akiva's whole line, right? That when he was 40 years old, and only then he began to learn Torah, whatever. And he was, you know, sitting with his son and learning Aleph Beis, you know, in Cheder when he was 40 years old. And how could he do that? What gave him the koach? Because he lived in the future. He said, okay, now it's up, but one day I'm going to be a big Talmud Chacham. And not, okay, so, you know, I'll rough through it, I'm upset now, but one day I'll be happy. No, now I'm happy because he was living in the future. He saw the day when he's going to be a big Talmud Chacham. Another Gemara, same idea with the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufalov, says, Kishachala Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnasu Talmid of Levakro. Rabbi Eliezer was sick, his Talmidim came to visit. And they said, he said to his Talmidim, Chema Aza Yesh Ba'olam. In other words, he says, I'm suffering terribly as Midas Adin in the world. Yichilu Heim Bochim. They started crying. Rabbi Kiva Metzachek. Once again, same thing. Rabbi Kiva's laughing. So he said, What are you so happy about? He says, why are you crying? So they said, Hafshar Sefer Torah Shari Batsar Baloni. Okay, our Rabbi Lazar is suffering. How can we not cry? Sefer Torah is a Batsar. How can we not cry? So he said, that's why I'm happy. Why? Kolz manchani roes Rebbe she'ein yeno machmitz ve'ein pishtano lokev ve'ein shamno mavish ve'ein divshob nad medvish. Everything until now was going good for Rebbe Lazar. Nothing bad ever happened to him. His wine was always good, never went off. His wine, his oil, whatever. Everything was always perfect for him. So I was worried. Maybe chash v'shalom, shemach v'shalom, kibel Rebbe olamah b'chayav. Maybe getting his olam haba in this world because nothing bad's happening. But shav she'ani roeh and Rebbe b'tzar ani sameach. So now I'm happy. But again, the surim that he saw that this his Rebbe had, he saw that he's going to be have it good, therefore, now in the next world. In the next world. So why is Rebbe Akiva happy now? Again, he lived in the future. He saw the next world as if he's living in the next world. And when he saw his Rebbe, he's going to have it good. Memela, he said, that's going back to the beginning, we mentioned with the Returnus Rufus, That's the difference between Eternus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. Eternus Rufus, he lived in the present. And therefore he says, Bris Mila, why did Bris Mila, the pain, you know, giving the kid or whatever, what do you need it for? Because he lived in the here and now. It's discomfort now, so forget it. Don't do it. See the future. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, as we said, no, he lived in the future. And therefore he said, they compared it to the wheat and the bread, and he said, it's difficult to make bread. There's 10 pulot that says they need to make bread, right? It's tough to get the final stage when you finally take a piece of wheat and turn it into bread. But it's Kedai, right? Because you have a piece of bread. It's not here right now, Seder, but you have to live in the future and see the final results. And the final results of the Bris Mila and the connection to Kodesh Baruch, whatever, he lived in the future, unlike Eternus Rufus. The Mela, when Eternus Rufus asked him, similarly, if your God likes the Anim, why doesn't he take care of himself? So he says, in order to save us from Gehinnom. So they all ask the question, so because of that, these poor Anim have to suffer? Right? So I can get Olam Haba, this poor Ani has to suffer. So Terence says, no, if you look at it the here and now, good question, not fair, why should he have to suffer? But Lamaisa, since this Ani is going to be a catalyst, and he's going to cause all these people that are giving him money to get Olam Haba, he's going to have a tremendous chelik, even better than theirs. Why? Because it was because of him that they got Olam Haba, he was the catalyst, so he's going to get a tremendous Olam Haba for that. Again, here and now, it's a tough matzah, but Rabbi Akiva saw the future. He saw the future, and then he lived in the future. This ends up here with a cute little mice about talking about poverty and you know the anim. So he says there was once somebody came to the Chafetz Chaim, Rav, and he from some distant town, and he said he's looking for a shidduch for his daughter. Is there anybody from the yeshiva maybe he can suggest whatever? So the Chavetz Chaim said, yeah, I think I have somebody in mind. So he calls in the Bachar and he says, there's this Rav that's Rav of this town over here, and he's willing to support you first few years and get married, whatever. And I think it's a good shidduch. Perhaps maybe you'd like to go there and check things out and meet the father-in-law, meet the girl, whatever. So he said, fine. So it's a whole trek, you take a train and a this and a that. It was a whole trek to finally get to this place. So he goes, gets to this town, and he couldn't believe what he saw. The whole town is a town of poverty, poverty-stricken. And all the houses, everything was shacks and falling apart. He says, where's the rub of the house of the rub? They point him to the house of the rub, and the whole house is falling apart. It's like the roof is made of hay, you know, and it's half collapsed or whatever. The whole house is like one room. He walks in, and he had like a barrel was the table, and there's a couple of like chairs, if you want to call them that, next to the table, and a little curtain, and that was the behind the curtain was the like bedroom, whatever. And then it's like nails in the wall where they hang their clothes, like rags. I'm gonna call them clothes. They're like rags. Hanging. He just couldn't believe it. He just said, and the Rav says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, we know here. And he's talking to him for me, and whatever, this and that, whatever. And then, okay, he got his impression, you know, and then he ushered him out to the, you know, sent him off, whatever. So he came back to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim, he says, no, so what did you see? What did you see when you were there? So the guy said, Rebbe, my entire life, I never saw such poverty in my entire life. He said, I never saw such a thing. So Chafetz Chaim says, oh, very good. Any other good things you saw over there? Okay. On the pasuk b'yom hashmini imol b'sar laso, and it was once the Rabbi Yonas and Eibeshitz was asked by some priests. He says, "Why do you guys say in your davening rofei choli amo Yisrael?" So he said, "I want to bring a raya from here that we don't care about the goyim, the sick goyim, right? Rofei Hashem cares. Rofei choli amo Yisrael. Hashem cares about these. He cures the Jews. He doesn't care about the goyim." So he said, what's the meaning of this? So he said, Chas v'shalom, you know, Hashem doesn't want anybody to suffer, he wants to help everybody, whatever. So why is it Rofei Cholim on Yisrael? So he told him, look, it's Gemara Megillah, Yud Zayin Amud Beis, I'm sure you remember, right, that the Gemara over there describes the brachas in the Shemana Asrei. And the Birkas Rifeinu is the eighth bracha in the Shemana Asrei, right? And why the eighth bracha? Can they get a mila? Shnitna liyom hashmini tzitzicha refuah, right? The Bris Mila is given on the 38th day, and therefore it's the 8th bracha on the Shemona Esrei, and it needs a refuah. You need a refuah for Bris Mila, and therefore Refeinu is the 8th bracha in Shemona Esrei. And I told them, so that is Shayach to who? The Goyim? No, only the Jews. Only the Jews have Bris Mila. Mimele, Asher Israel, Fechalomo Israel. It's specifically the Jews, because it's a bracha for Bris Mila, to have a refuah for Bris Mila. You guys don't have Bris Mila, so you don't need a bracha. Good answer. So, fine, they're happy with that. This Talmidim, though, afterwards said to Rav Yonason, fine, we realize you just like push them off. What's the real answer? So, he said, very simple. He said, the Goyim, they're osek in refuah, in medicine, whatever, and they put their trust in the medicines they come up with, the cures and the doctors or whatever. Whereas we understand all this is the sishtalos. We put our trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's the real one that brings the refuah. Memela mina kenegin mina. The goyim put their trust in the nature and the teva physical thing. So that's what cures them. Whereas us, we put our trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We realize he's the cure. Memela he cures us. And therefore, what do we say? Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael, right? But he cures Amo Yisrael because we put our trust in him. The goyim don't put their trust in him; they put their trust in the medicines, and the medicines cure them. Whereas we trust Hashem, and Hashem cures us. Is that where it says in Brachas, right, that there was a sefer refuas that any cure in this book was a cure for every sickness, but Shlomo Melech decided that it's no good. Why? Because people are. Shlomo HaMelech was the one that had this book, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech decided to put it away, to go in his it, because and the Chachamim they praised him for it. Why? Because people weren't trusting in the Kodesh Baruch Hu anymore. So instead of trusting in a Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael, they're trusting in this book. Therefore, he had to put it away. It's interesting. The Chazon Ish says that in every generation, Kodesh Baruch Hu brings a disease that they have no cure for. It's interesting. We find this, and now unfortunately, we have the Machal or whatever. And there was AIDS. There was this, whatever. There's always these things that they had no cure for. He says, why? In order to show the doctors that they're only the shluchim. Right, they're only a shluchim, and really the mafteach, the key, the cure, that's only Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just to prove that point. It says, cute little story, says when he was, once he had like a bacteria, whatever, that went into Rav Gilinzian, it went to his ear, and he couldn't hear properly, and it was causing a lot of problems. So once he was in the hospital, whatever, they're trying to cure him. So one day, the head of the ward, his doctor said, Rav Galinsky, is it true that it says in your Talmud, right, that Tov Sheberofim Lebegehenim, right, it says the Gemara in Kedusha, it says Tov Sheberofim Legehenim, the best of doctors, Kilu, belong in Gehenim. So he says, how do you explain it? He says, it's very, you know, it's a big slighting towards us, you know, the doctors. So he says, really? He says, you shouldn't feel bad. He says, why? He says, a Tov Shevarofim Shevakhanim. He says, so bring me one of the Tov Shevarofim. And then so he goes, okay, very funny rabbi, but no, really. So Mashma thought it was a joke. He really felt he was one, a good doctor. Anyways, so he said, I'll tell you. He says, we have davening, we have Shemona Esrei brachas, right? And one of these brachas is, we ask Hashem, Rafeinu Hashem, v'nei Rafei, Hashem, v'nei Vashaya. The Rofe Neman, Aracha Manata, because you're a Rofe Neman, right? But the Rofe, he doesn't think that. The doctor thinks that I cure. Hashem doesn't cure. I'm the cure. I do. So Mele, what does his doctor do? He doesn't say that bracha in Shemona Esrei, because what, Rofe Hashem is the Rofe? I'm the Rofe, not Hashem. So he leaves that bracha out. So Mele, how many brachas are left? Not Shemona Esrei, Ella, Shva Esrei. Shva Esrei in Gematria is Tov. 17 is Tov. In Gematria. So Mele, Tov, Sheberofim, again. Those doctors that only daven Tov, brachas in the Shemona Esrei, only 17, because they think they're the doctor, Legehenim. They're the ones that belong to him. So one day, he says, the doctors all came around his bed. They brought some to get top doctors to see what's going on with them, with this thing in his ear, whatever. So he turned to them, the group, and he says, is Professor Neman over here? She said, Professor Neman. He says, yeah, where's Professor Neman? I don't see him. He says, Rabbi Galinsky. He says, who exactly is Professor Neman? He says, well, if you would daven, you would know. Right, every day I turn to Chodesh Baruch and I say, Ki Melech Rofe Neman Rachamanata. So where's Rabbi Nehemiah? He's like, not here. Okay. Adam kiyeh beor besaro seiso sapachas o beheres vuva el aharon hakohen. So no, we had, there's different names in the Torah where we have for man, right? Adam is one of them. Gever, Enosh, Ish. There's different all names for man. But the greatest of them is Adam. So, ask the Alshech HaKadosh, he says, if that's the case, why, Dafka here, the preface for the Inyan of Tzaras, it says, Adam ki yeh beor besaro. Adam is supposed to be Adam in his greatness. Adam. And he's talking about a leper. Right, Adam ki yeh beor besaro. Well, what's shot over here? So he suggests an answer, like suggests an answer based on a maisa that happened in the year of Tafresh Ayin, 1910. So there was a blood libel near Kiev. There was a Christian child that was killed. They found him dead in the field. And as usual, Goyim took advantage of this. Oh, you know, it's it. You see, it was just before Pesach, as it happened at that time. And they said, the Jews killed him, you know, to get blood for the matzahs, you know, the old blood libel. So they had somebody that was made, one of the workers in the factory, his name was Mendel Bayless, that they said, yeah, I saw him running after this kid in the field. So they came to, of course, to courts, whatever, Bayless case of who tried to kill this kid for the to get his blood for the matzahs. So this Bayless, he had a Jewish lawyer. His name was Grusenberg. He was one of the top lawyers in Russia. And next to him in court came Rav Yaakov Mazeh. Yaakov Mazeh, his name is Mem Zayin Aleph Chipchik Hey. That's his family name. It's Rashi Tevas Mizera Aaron HaKohen. Stands for Mizera Aaron HaKohen, Mazeh. He was the Rav of Moscow at the time. So just before the trial, and this Rav Mazeh gets a letter in the mail from Rav Meir Shapiro Miliblin. At the time, he was the Rav of Galina in Galicia. We'll see later what the contents of this letter was. Fine. So they go to court, and the quote-unquote experts, you know, from the other side said, yes, you know, here's a proof of the, you know, what we've been saying, the Jews killed the, you know, to take the blood for the matzahs, blah, 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 whatever. So the lawyer, Grusenberg, says, you know, that's ridiculous, and he says, I'll prove it to you. He says, the Jewish people, you know, blood is just totally forbidden for them. Why do you think they take their meat and they salt it to get every last bit of blood out? And not only that, he says, I'll tell you even more. He says, if a Jew takes a bite of an apple, and if he had some, blood from his gums went onto the apple, he's not allowed to eat that piece of apple. His own blood got a little bit of blood on his own, but he can't eat that. So if he can't eat that, you're telling me that this guy was over on one of the Ten Commandments of Lotirza, killing this goy and taking his blood and eating his blood, and he wants to eat his blood. This is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So they came back and they said, because you do that because you hate us so much, you hate the Goyim so much that you don't even hold that we're like human beings. You don't treat us like human beings. And I'll prove it to you. He says, what? He says, from your own Gemara. Right? Gemara in Yevamos, Mamatsia, and Krisus. It says, Atem Kriim Adam, Vein Ov De Kochavim Kriim Adam. You're called Adam, you're considered human beings. Vein Ov De Goyim are not considered Adam, not considered human beings. Your own Gemara says that. You know, you treat us like we're nothing. We're not human. We're inhuman. That's why you take us, you eat us, take our everything. So he said, listen, the lawyer said, I you want to start bringing Makoros, you know, from the Gemara, whatever. That's why I brought the Rav over here. Yeah, he'll take care of that. I still think this whole thing's totally ridiculous. You want to ask some cash from the Gemara? Well, the Rav's here for that. Fine, so all heads turn to Rav Mazeh, and he said the following. Because first of all, Agabe, you know, he said we killed the Goyim. It's Kfer Shagamor and Daf Nun Vav in Sanhedrin. That Lotirzach is also Shayach by Goyim. You can't murder Goyim either. Kfer Shagamor, number one. Furthermore, he says, you think that we don't consider you people? You're not Adam, you're not considered anybody. I'll show you a number of places in Shas where Dafka, it's not the case. For example, Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ish ish ki yakalel aloka v'nasa cheto. Ish, person, right? That's mekalel Hashem, and the Gemara says the ish ish is to include in goyim. You're called an ish. You're all called an ish. Okay? Also, ish ish asher yakriv es korbano. To include goyim, they can bring the dar and darim and adavas. Again, ish, goyim. What are you telling me you guys are not? They said, okay, but you're forgetting, what about the other Gemara? Adam, Atem, Krim, Adam, goyim are not called Adam. What are you going to say about that? So he says, let me explain to you. He said, you know something very interesting? The word ish, right? I mean, a person, a man, ish. He said, how do you say ish in plural? Anashim. Right, there's ish, nashim. Ish is one person. You have a lot of them. It's anashim. Okay. Said Adam. Okay. Also, person Adam. Said, how do you say a lot, many, adamim, adamot? No, there's no word. There's no word for Adam in plural. Okay. Ish there is. So he said. So that's the pshat over. He says that by Jews we're called Adam. Why? Because we are like one body. There's no plural. No such thing as plurality. Brother, we're all like one person. Ish echad v'lev echad. All Jewish people are like one. And mainly that's why we're called Adam, because there's no plural by Adam. When we're like one, there's no plural. So the Mele, he says, you see it. One yid goes up for trial, and all the Jews are in an uproar and davening for him, and the whole big spiel. He says, would this happen if a goy got, some goy was caught, he was supposed to kill somebody. Why, all the goyim in a big uproar? No, why? Because every goy has nothing to do with each other. We're one, and therefore, we have this achdus, and therefore we're Adam. That's what Gemara is saying. Atem kriyam belot. So they were very impressed by this answer, and after the trial, they're complimenting Rav Mazeh, and he said, "I'll tell you a secret." He says, "Before the trial, I got a letter from Amir Shapira. This is what he wrote in the letter. He said, I'm sure they're going to ask you this." He told me this shot in the letter. So back to the beginning. So we asked the question from the Alshik, why does it say by the Negayim Dafka, Adam, when we're talking about Adam Kiyevis Beorbis Aros, why Adam is Adam is a Chashav Adam? So we're telling this person the following. Adam, says the Rav Shlomo Gansfri, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says in the Sefer Apirion, he says that we're telling this person, listen, Adam, you're part of the Jewish people who are called Adam. We're one goof. Okay? And therefore, Ki yebis haros seis osapachos beheres, why do you have this? You're speaking Lashon Hara. You're pogeya and the achdus of Klal Yisrael. We're one. And by what are you doing in speaking Lashon Hara? You're creating rifts between people. You're pogeya in this achdus. Therefore, v'uva el Aaron HaKohen, who's always shalom v'rodev shalom, that he's supposed to, straighten this guy out and to bring back this achdus to the Jewish people. And if it doesn't do so, then badad yeshev michus l'machaneh moshavo. He has to sit by himself until he's does tshuva. And understand that this Am Yisrael, we're Adam, and ki ish echad b'lev echad. Until he figures that out, he has to remain by himself. Okay. Last thing. It says also Adam ki yevev resaro, Seisos apachas. So the Shach Sifsei Kohen, he points out that these different things, Seis apachas, they come for different averas. And Seis is, he says, the lashon of hisnasut. A person is proud, he's haughty, whatever. And that's one of the punishments for being haughty. He gets a tzaraas. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Ein ani v'hu yecholim l'dur kechad." He says, "I can't live with such a person. Hashem hates haughty people." Morris says, "He says I can't live together. I can't be together with such a person." So the once the Chafetz Chaim, he had a question. It says that the Rami Panovich turned to the Chafetz Chaim with a question. He says, Baruch Hu loves every Jew and every matzah, right? Fine. So he said that, Chaim Volozhin, once he was learning the Tanit of Eliyahu, and he came across the praises of Hashem. One of the praises is that Hashem is Sameach Bechalko. And he didn't understand that. Rav Chaim didn't understand it. What's pshat? Hashem is something. A person can be happy with what he has. He only has a limited amount of things. He can't have any more. So he should be happy at least with what he has. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's happy with what he has. He can have what he wants. He can make more if he wants more. What does it mean he's happy with what he has? Happy with his chelik. So he went and he asked the Gaon Mivilna. The Gaon Mivilna said that the chelko, who's the chel? What's the chelif of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Am Yisrael. As it says, ki chelik Hashem amo. Right? We're Hashem's chelik. Now, Hashem really would love, want everybody, every yid to be tzaddikim or whatever, but he can't make them into tzaddikim. Why? Because we have free choice. Chol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. It's one thing that Hashem is kilu out of his domain. He can't make us good. So we're his chelek, and we're not always so good, but Hashem is happy with his chelek. So mea bechelko. He says, no, I wish they'd be better. But whatever they are, I love them anyways. I'm Sameach B'chelki, Hashem says. My chelek of Klal Yisrael, which I can't control, I can't make them tzaddikim, that's up to them, they have free choice, but wherever they're holding, I'm happy. So, he asked, you know, we find, in fact, it says, Ashochi nitam betoch tumasam, that Hashem, even when we're tameh, we're bad, we're there, we're in galus, Hashem is always with us. He always is, wherever the matzav, Hashem is with us. If that's the case, he says, it's a pele, then why is it by the person that's haughty, as we said before, that says, Hashem, I can't live together with him, Hashem says. Forget, haughty person. Why? He says, Hashem, we're Rasha, Rishayim, people that are Tommy, Hashem says, I wish they were better, but I'm staying with them. They're my chelek. And all of a sudden, by a haughty person, no, I can't be together with them. What's the difference? What's going on? So Chavetz Chaim explained. And he said, the difference is that by a Rasha, as bad as he is, but Hashem says, no, I'll still be with him. Why? Because there's hope. Now he's a Rasha. He can hopefully, you know, maybe some take some Yisurin sometimes, but that'll eventually he'll soften up. He can do tshuva, and he can become a mensch again. He said, but somebody, he said, who's a Baal Gaiva, he's a tippish. He's a fool. And a fool, he says, no, there's no hope for fools. It says the person thinks, you know, the life, his life is his health is his talents, his success is his. He says, oh, I'm this, I'm talented, I'm successful, I'm this. I'm you, what are you? You're nothing. It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you think that you have any hand in anything you have or anything you do, is that you're a tippish. So he says, and tippishim, he says, I have nothing to do with. I can't live together with a tippish. A Rasha I can deal with, but not a tippish. So the Panavitcherov heard this word from the Chavetz Chaim. He said, "Oh, you know, thank you, Rebbe. I really, your mama saved me." So the Chavetz Chaim said, "I saved you? What do you mean I saved you?" He says, "Yeah, you know." He said, "One of my balabatim asked me a kasha, and now I have an answer." He says, "What?" He says, "In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, he says there's arba banim divrei Torah, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Inu de'Elishol." So one of my balabatim asked me. He says, "We have Chacham and then Rasha." He says, "Lachura, that's not the opposite. The opposite of a Chacham is not a Rasha. A Chacham is a Tipesh. So why say Chacham Rasha? It should have said Chacham Tipesh." He says, "Now, Baruch Hashem, I have an answer. Why?" He says, "Because the Chacham says, Kilu saying, Ribbono Shalom, you can put anything next to me. Just don't put a Tipesh next to me. A Rasha, I don't mind. A Rasha, I can handle. You know, I know to be careful of him. Whatever, a Rasha is fine. I can handle a Rasha. But a Tipesh, nothing to do with. Therefore, Hashem, listen, he put next to the Chacham a Rasha, not Chacham Tipesh." We also zeiche to say over the entire Haggadah and this year on the Korban Pesach with the coming of Mashiach.